StreamYard's trash, by the way.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The snap, the kick, it's been blocked again! Oh my! It's been blocked again! And the
he's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Kyrie Cleveland! Oh my! I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball over the middle. It's
to Harmon, he comes back, say goodbye.
Ahmad Black, in his final game as a Gator, takes it all the way home and sends Urban out the winner.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your boy Corey.
It's Dan.
Delatorre.
Your boy Jay Scott. What it do, baby?
What up, 2-5?
What's going on, y'all, man?
Getting to it, man. It should be a fun show. Same corner, same time. We appreciate everybody for tuning in. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe, hang out with us. Super chat is available if y'all want to jump ahead of the line with questions or comments. But Stadium Miguel got a lot of news to uncover. Big announcements on the way. You boys do anything special this weekend? Sorry for the tardiness, but
bro,
it is what it is.
I was catching every bullet aimed at me.
I was waiting on the comment that said, everybody go around and say your favorite Dan Thompson moment. Nobody responded, so I guess I still don't have one. So we're working on it. Maybe could I?
Hey, it's great to have something to strive towards.
That's right. Yeah, so I got to work hard. It's what brings me back each and every Monday night.
One good moment.
One good moment. Just striving, you know? Played golf yesterday. Got stuck in the rain for an hour. That's always fun. But if you're not watching, after the show tonight, we're playing Finland in hockey tonight, or we're playing Sweden in hockey. But same if thing. You didn't watch the Four Nations hockey tournament, U.S. versus Canada on Saturday night, you missed some absolutely elite TV sports watching. Whatever the NBA was doing this weekend, I mean, just doesn't even – you're not even the same universe, let alone the same –
I haven't seen this level of joy on Dan's face since Florida beat Oklahoma. Look at Dan's just giddy.
Yeah, I'm giddy.
Jordan, Corey, you guys tuned into the hockey this weekend.
So I went outside for Valentine's Day, right? Instead of Friday, trying to beat the crowd. That doesn't work anymore, by the way. You know, scrap that whole idea, fellas. Just go out on Valentine's Day because the secret is out about Saturday. It don't work.
You got to go on like Tuesday.
Yeah.
The Thursday, the February 13th, you might as well call that Valentine's Day too.
Yeah, yeah. The 13th and the 15th is off the records, bro. You cannot do that, man. But stepped out Saturday night with the wife. We sitting in a little speakeasy. The vibes is good. And then she look over to the left, and there's two white boys fighting on ice, man.
Yeah. Yeah. There was three fights in the first 9 seconds of the game. I was talking to Nick. Some of it, some off-season square up, a little bit is fighting for your country. And we don't get the chance to do this very often. You know, NHL Olympics is very different, or hockey in the Olympics is very different than this Four Nations tournament. So whatever Gary Bettman did to put this together, they need to keep doing. I think they said they want to do it every other year. So it's an incredible thing to watch. There's a very strong chance the U.S. will play Canada again on Thursday. And that'll be must-watch TV. I know this isn't a hockey podcast, but because I didn't play football, I gotta throw it in there.
Hey, man, Drake taking L's, Canada taking L's, like USA, USA, baby. You know what I'm saying? Somebody in the comments said Dan hairline moments is greater than Dan moments, man. That's crazy. Your hairline takes praise, bro.
Yeah, you know, it is what it is, you know. To not distract this podcast, I started wearing a hat. Because when I don't wear a hat, it's It's like Kendrick Lamar and I'm Drake in the chat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, man, we got a lot to talk about. I hope everybody did have a good weekend. Great Valentine's Day weekend. But let's get into the show. Corey, let's do a Brunt ad read. Then we got a lot to talk about.
One time for the great folks at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services, they're powering everything we got going over here at Stadium Miguel. Free quote. It don't cost you a single dime to visit bruntinsurance.com or call 954-589-2204 for a free quote on life insurance, car insurance, homeowners insurance, motorcycle trailer, whatever you may need insured. My man Greg can take care of you if you're in the Southeast, most importantly, Florida. 954-589-2204. Big coverage, big policies, bruntinsurance.com. Greg, what's up, baby?
So now I want to, Max Brown here had commented because I control the comments. I'm going to bring it up here. He said, just so you know, my favorite Dan moment is when I see you clapping on any On3 video about Florida. Somehow I made the B-roll for the Florida Gators when the Gators were playing Tennessee and they had a touchdown. And so I'm right there. Shout out to the Stadium and Gale listener. I forgot who I bought the tickets from in the front row there. So yeah, anytime you see an On3 video about the Gators, there's a chance you'll see my smiling mug on there cheering, and then I give a let's go at the end. It was a couple of alcoholic drinks that day by that point.
Just a
couple.
I hosted you that week.
You did host us that week. Yeah, Nick, you were around the shenanigans. Shenanigans started early Friday. Yeah.
Alcohol was fine.
Speaking of Gainesville, Corey, let's talk about Stadium and Gale heading up to Gainesville in just a couple weeks. It has been announced that DJ Lagway is hosting a fundraiser for his new foundation. So want you to get the floor here to talk a little bit about that.
All right, let me get this flyer in front of me, man. But yeah, shout out to the DJ Lagway, our quarterback. He's launching the DJ Lagway Foundation, something we've been hitting that on this show for feels like 6-7 months at this point. We're working on this for a little while, but Stadium Miguel, the crew, should be hosting the live show. There's more content around it that Flow Factory will be doing behind the scenes, and also it's like some documentary type vibes. But DJLagway.com, he's starting his foundation in collaboration with UF Health. He's giving 100% of proceeds from this event to UF Health in this whole collaboration. But visit DJLagway.com. It should be a lot of people, a lot of the big names around UF football, Twitter, social media, all that stuff, man. It's going to be a good time. Make sure you buy your tickets. It's going to be at Spurrier's. We're going to have Miss Lagway on the show next week to come and hang out on Stadium Miguel, talk about this event a little bit more, the purpose of the foundation, their vision, where they're trying to take this thing. But philanthropy is big with all these athletes. We see all the NIL, but this is Stadium Miguel, Flow Factory, us collaborating with an athlete in the NIL situation with philanthropy, nonprofit, giving back. This is a lane that we want to kind of camp out in without NIL efforts, but excited for this whole event, man. The live show is going to be hosted by the crew right here, man, us four. We're going to sit on the stage, questions, Q&As. There should be some live painting. The food at Spurrier, I heard, is fire. The ambiance and the vibe should be great. Make sure y'all tune in and hang out with us, man. It should be a good time.
Revel the artist will be there. How much do I have to pay to get a drawing of me? I know my forehead and my hairline will probably take up 80% of the canvas. Yeah, that's a lot of blush paint, too. You know what I mean?
California King bed sheet. Yeah. I don't know what they run.
Yeah, we're probably in the tens of thousands, huh?
The number, they're gallons of paint.
Ask the Lagway Foundation what I would need to do to get that going. I got to kick off my new office. I got just a bunch of stuff in a side bedroom. I got to turn it into my office. It's been sitting pretty vacant for about a year now, so I got to do something with that. So that would be a nice, fresh painting to have in the background. That way, when I'm not wearing a hat, they can still make fun of my hairline. So that is going to be awesome. Go check out DJ Lagway's Instagram or Twitter page, X page. go check out the Stadium and Gale page. Go check out the foundation page. It is going to be an unbelievable event in Gainesville, not that far from now, but a month from now. So go check that out. I think you'll be in for a lot of surprises while you're there as well. So it should be a great event on Monday at Spurrier.
Should be in Gainesville. Should be well attended. But just shout out to DJ. I think it's a super dope thing to, at this young age, to want to give back. I always thought that, like, Florida Victorious, when they had these guys doing work in the community and doing stuff like this, I always thought, like, I hope it sticks. Like, I hope they like it, or they meet somebody or hear a story that kind of sticks. And to see a kid who's, I think he hasn't turned 20 until December or 20, okay, like before next year, to see him already being like, okay, I see this platform I have. I see where I've gotten to in life and I can give back, and to jump at the first opportunity to do this, I think shows the kind of person that Miss Nikita and Derek raised. So shout out to DJ. If I had a bunch of money when I was 19, I definitely wasn't starting a foundation. I was doing some hood rat stuff with my friends. So shout out to DJ.
Nah, you would have been good philanthropy if you were DJ Lightweight, for sure, man, because you got to find a way to get, you know, them big bucks is coming in, brother, and you got to find a way to give back for a lot of different reasons, man. But I'm excited about this, man. I think it's very important to give back to the community. I like the collaboration with UF Health. Looking forward to just shooting some more content, you know, getting into town and doing more things, NIL capacity. And if Stadium Miguel fans, man, y'all go buy tickets. It's going to be worth it, man. Support whatever cause these players got going on. Don't just buy their merch. Don't just do the fun things. But when they're giving back to the community, make sure you guys support in that fashion as well. It's an opportunity because I think they're going to be bidding off the live art and some other things, man. So it's an opportunity as a community to enjoy, of course, a good conversation with Stadium Miguel while we talk about past season, upcoming season, but also we're going to tap into some philanthropy, and you guys will get the access to buy signed merch, to be able to engage with DJ and also other Gator celebrities. Jordan Scarlett's in the mix. He'll be there. We'll have some other guys. Johnny Townsend is throwing his thing with us, so Johnny Townsend will be in the building. Warfel name has been mentioned, some other guys. It should be the who's who of Gator should be in the building. So go find your ticket on djlightweight.com. Support the cause, support your favorite podcast, and also support philanthropy, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So go check that out, djlagway2.com. So djlagway2.com, so you can get tickets. More information will be announced as we get a little bit closer, but it's going to be an unbelievable Monday night in Gainesville. So if you're a student at UF, Santa Fe, if you live in Gainesville, if you live nearby, I'm making the trek from Tampa and back. So if I can do it, I know I have to be there, but beyond that, if I can do it, you can definitely do it. It's going to be a fun event. So again, djlagway2.com. And let me know if you buy tickets. Every person that buys ticket, I will buy one Zyrtec for Nick to take before we podcast every week. All right. You'll notice.
Zyrtec is crazy. You got allergies.
You'll also notice, in terms of branding for the podcast, we did do a branding and identity logo change. So you'll notice that we are really kind of leaning into who we are and what our identity is going to be moving forward. So we will have a lot of new merchandise available for you to buy. Obviously, you can still buy the old merchandise, and we're going to have a lot more. We're going to really try to elevate that, not only in quality, but in the number of products and types of products that you can get as well. So I do want to give a shout out to Carl. Carl was the one that put this together for us. We think it's a great brand identity. We think it's a great logo moving forward. We think it represents the four of us. So all four of us were keenly involved in creating this. So very, very excited for that. So be on the lookout. And then, as Mac Groh says here in the comments, yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, please hit that like button. If you're watching on Instagram, this is the first time we've streamed to Instagram. So shout out to you, listeners. I know I saw Harrison on there earlier, a few others. nice. Few others there. And then if you're on X as well, so go share that with your friends. All right, guys, big news to most people, not to us. We've been hinting at it on the show probably December that Will Harris will not be on the staff any longer. It was announced that he is going to, at least for now, the University of Miami. But allegations, right? So
Will has hit my DM and told me he's going to the NFL, man. So
very good.
Parody show.
Yeah, we've got I do want to set the stage for that conversation a little bit. We've, as Stadium and Gale, have not always been the breaking news podcast, right? We have tried to stay a little bit away from the breaking news side of things. We've tried to stay away from some of the more in-depth recruiting and interviewing recruits and stuff like that. I think as we continue to grow and mature as a podcast and grow and mature in our relationships, we're going to start breaking some more news. And so we're trying to do that the best way that we can. And we want to be careful of our sources. We want to be careful of the information that we want to put out there. But when we talked about Will Harris and we talked about some of the coaches on this staff not necessarily being all that pleased, it wasn't just conjecture. This is us talking to people, having an understanding of the culture around the program and who we're talking to about this information is pretty solid and pretty solidified. So we want to make sure that when we bring information to the show, it's something you can believe, but we also want to let you know that that is things that you're going to start hearing more of. So Will Harris left the University of Florida on Friday or Thursday, I guess. We can dive into it a little bit more here, but Corey, Nick, Jordan, want to get your thoughts.
Well, first off, Corey blew my scoop. Had my story scheduled to run Monday morning. Next thing I know, I look up. I'm like, dang.
Yeah, I know you corporate boys had to wait for like your like the proper channels. You know what I'm saying? I'm not corporate, so I could just go ahead and there's no. I can't get fired by anybody but Dan.
Like we can't, I mean, theoretically,
Dan can drop the hammer. So,
yeah,
we just get mad at each other. We can't get fired. Yeah. So I figure I got the information. I was actually on the spaces on Twitter when I got the information and spilled it out in that spaces and then sent out a tweet at the same time. But yeah, it's been smoke. And I just like a little bit more on what Dan was saying. So in December, we kind of started spelling out of the situation that may be going on with Will Harris, discomfort within the staff. A possible work environment that he may move on if Ron Roberts is kept. And it kind of played out. As we hinted on that, we got some kickback and we just stuck to our guns, but we got some kickback from some message boards and some people thought that we was just stirring the pot a little bit. But as it played out, it played out to true form that he wasn't happy. He was looking around. And we seen that with the Texas interest with him and also the Miami interest. And then now there's some NFL smoke, but a lot of keeping Ron Roberts was going to be a part of that. What's the reasons behind that? We won't go into rumors and innuendos, what that may be, but it was just some discomfort and possibly a work environment that was going to change. And then transform to that, to DeRon Wilson. As we broke the Will Harris news, we also, as a crew, kind of put out there that DeRon Wilson is going to be the guy that they go after. So we kind of walked our audience through this whole process from Will Harris leaving, let go, however you want to read his long tweet, you know. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of things in there.
Yeah, there's some innuendos in there, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of innuendos in there. Yeah. But I think we did a good job of walking our audience through this whole process and sending it all the way through the finish line with finding the new DB coach, which is DeRon Wilson. And I had to scoop Nick. I didn't know Nick had the scoop, but I put it out there. In my mind, before I put it out, I said, man, it's probably other writers with this information, but they can't put it out yet. Right. They got to move righteously, and I don't have to, man. I could just go.
They got to follow timelines that are given to them to make sure that they get future scoops, you know?
Yes. And now a scooper don't care about future scoops. They just got us, man. Nick, what was your Nick? Give out your spiel, man. What you got from the corporate side? What happened?
Corporate side. Excited to have Darren back in Gainesville. Was a valuable member of the 2022 staff. Young cat, 35. Yeah. I remember looking that up and being like, dang.
Yeah. Nice. You're 37-year-old. I like hearing that. That's
you're
young.
Younger than me.
Yeah. Still in prime.
Yeah. I think there's some familiarity with the program, with the expectations. Get him on campus. You know, right now they're going through identity stuff, and part of the loosened NCAA regulations, they can do some stuff with a football. Jordan's probably looking crazy. Like, what do you mean? Damn, coaches are around me right now. Get them away from me. He's trying to lift in the offseason. So he will get to see, you know, his guys in action early. I think the biggest thing for me, my standpoint was I thought you had to move quickly, which they did. I thought you needed to have somebody in place. You got spring football coming up. You just had a unbelievable defensive back class with safeties and cornerbacks. I love Florida's signing class. Don't make them wait and figure out who their coach is going to be down the line. So I think moving quickly was important. Keeping this class intact, I think, is important, which I've seen you talking about a bunch. People worrying about, you know, I think I saw you saying one time, like, hey, if Willie going to Texas, that's cool. Protected by Commissioner Sankey, not letting, you know, SEC transfer. It could get a little funky. Florida to Miami, but I like it. He's a young coach, young black coach, you know, to come in and coach that position group. But also you need a someone that can recruit. A lot of recruiting is now old greenbacks, old dead white men on greenbacks. Do a lot more recruiting than coaches do, and sometimes that's the bottom line. But I think getting someone young and fresh in the building is good.
Yeah, and somebody that's familiar.
Yep.
Yeah, understands the lingo. You know, was on staff for
was in the SEC for the last 2 years. He was on Florida staff for a year. Yep. They had a really Arkansas had a really good secondary his first year. They lost their best cornerback the following year and took a little slide, and then was just named the DC. Was going to be calling it for Georgia State. So able to get him back on campus, get him back in the fold. He's got an unbelievably talented room.
Yeah, significantly talented, more talented than any room that he's probably coached. That's the second of three hires that Florida's now hired on defense that were slated as defensive coordinators. Yes, at G5 schools, and I know we don't like to hear that, but that's at least shows where you know, where their trajectory, their coaching career is going. So, Jerron Wilson, like Nick said, Corey said, Corey broke the news. I know a lot of people are giving Matt Zenitz credit and other folks. Corey was the one that broke the news. So give him his flowers for breaking that news. We talked about it on the show on, I think, Thursday. We alluded to that was probably the likely pick. There was a couple other people that were somewhat in the fold. Talked to at least, but that pick was pretty solidified going into that Will Harris decision. And I don't think it caught Billy Napier necessarily by surprise either. So Jerron Wilson will be your new defensive backs coach. Will Harris is likely not going to Miami, likely going to the NFL. So that's where we sit. Any final thoughts on Jerron Wilson or Will Harris before we get out of here?
Yeah, man, I think that basically I kind of like what Nick said, that he's a young quarterback. I mean, a young DB coach. So, like, it's good to have that energy around the young guys. You feel me? He can basically get – I feel like the best part about football is having the passion to play for football, like play good ball and play for somebody you love. And if he's bringing that energy every day, the players are going to react off that and kind of just, you know, go with the flow. And I think that would be good for them boys. And they already know him kind of deal, so – I think it'd be a good thing overall.
Yeah, no, I mean, good pedigree, good playing career when he was playing SEC football, right? He played at Arkansas?
I don't know if he played there. I think he coached there his last 2 years.
Yeah, no, I forgot where he played. I know he's originally from the New Orleans area, obviously a great area to recruit and continue to try to scout talent out of. Obviously a tough place to pull somebody from, but again, just a great pedigree there. So again, that's what your staff looks like for now. So Bala, Sinceri, and Wilson are your newest coaches. That does put Florida at 11 assistant coaches by job title, which is what we've alluded to on this show as well. There is no more limit on what coaches will be called or how many coaches you can have or what their position mm-hmm. title will be called. There is a limit on certainly the number of coaches that can go out and recruit, and you can designate 10 to do so. But so Florida now has what looks to be the making of a Mercer staff. And I was wrong. So he went to Southern Miss. So he was a cornerback at Southern Miss, was a Jim Thorpe Award preseason watch list member before he injured his ankle going into his senior year. So Conference USA, all freshman team, Phil Steele, freshman All-American, second team, all-team conference. So, a solid player and comes here. And that's the second straight hire that Florida has gotten that has been a perennial game changer at the position when they were in college. So good to get that back. And so that's what Florida staff looks like now. Corey, any final thoughts on Deron Wilson or Will Harris?
Yeah, on both, man. Losing Will was an ideal situation. You want as much continuity as you could possibly get heading into next season, DJ Lightway, the next two. I think the fan base wanted more change on the offensive side, the defensive side, and it turns out we're getting more change on the defensive side than the offensive side. But we expressed on here because we just like to give our audience the heads up on the vibes of what's going on if we got the information. And it was kind of apparent that Will wanted to move on. Considering uh-huh. that we're wanting to move on, your opinion, our opinion on whether, it's hard to move on from a DC in regards to if it's a work environment to move on with a defensive back coach that has a gripe, right? Like the defensive coordinator in life just has a higher role and means more to the team. Just from a staff situation, I kind of understand, like there's some other nuances to it, but what Will put out there is hard to tell what the determining factor is. A little bit of two, I think it was a work environment and also pay, but we had to move on nonetheless, and it's time to move on. I don't keep harping on Will Harris. Deron Wilson, I would have liked to go after a splash hire, and I do want to say that Will Harris himself wasn't a splash hire. So I think going from Corey Raymond, who was the splash hire at the time, we brought on Corey Raymond from LSU, who's a legendary DB coach, probably one of the greatest DB coaches of all time if you just measure mm-hmm. it up. Like, he's a GOAT. It didn't really work out here at UF for him. Like the secondary didn't perform well. Where's Will Harris come in? He cleaned up tackling. He cleaned up just communication pre-snap-wise. I do want to give him his flowers. Like, he cleaned up a lot of things DB-wise, and we wanted to keep that continuity. Why I wasn't playing to the highest level of college football DBs around the country, it was an improved player at UF. But I look at Deron Wilson's resume, and there's a lot of similarities in their resume. And I think I wanted a splash hire, but that's not what we got. But when you just get to the bones of everything, the foundation of what Billy brought in, I think it's another solid hire. The guy was a defensive coordinator at Georgia State when we poached him. You guys already spoke about his time in Arkansas. He's highly thought of in the coaching world. When I look at clips of him, via social media, YouTube, mm-hmm. he fits the bill of a DB coach. I think he's going to recruit well. I don't think there's going to be a drop-off with recruiting. I think he'll hold his end of the bargain with that. He'll be on the same level as Will Harris, if not higher. Vinny Sinceri is going to be a really good recruiter in my opinion. So I don't think the recruiting drop off is going to be anything whatsoever. What I want to see is the development from the safety position and the cornerback positions. Continue to see these guys tackle well, communicate well pre-snap, know their assignment. That part of the football, what Will cleaned up, I want to see that continue. All right, good hire. But I want to see how they continue to develop going further, man. And if Will Harris is not going to Miami, he's going to the NFL. Like that makes it even funner, right? Like, I just like that even more that he left and, you know, threw some scrays at Miami so I get my troll back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, yeah, you know, I think the more concerning thing we talked about on Logo Talk on Thursday is just more of the reason why, not necessarily just that he did. You know, we talked about it on the show this time last year, maybe 13 months ago, and Will Harris got hired. You're just not sure. And, you know, you kind of hope, and obviously it worked out with Will Harris. The defense, you know, the defensive back room got better last year than the first year or the last couple of years under Corey Raymond. Yeah, you know, I think Deron Wilson has a good pedigree. I think that he's got is a guy that understands what he's coming into at the University of Florida. I think he's got a potential future, maybe to be a defense coordinator, maybe to be a head coach one day, but we don't know. And to say that this hire is an upgrade or a downgrade is not fair to say today, right? It minimizes them as individuals and coaches and the amount of research that goes into hiring these coaches, but you just don't know. It's an incomplete grade. That's not to say that it's a worse hire or that it won't potentially be a better hire. It's just incomplete today. So I want to make sure that's known. And we'll find out. Football practice, I think, starts next week or so. So, you know, we'll start to see. There was a lot of injuries on that team last year. And, you know, maybe they stay healthy this year and that team really overperforms. Is that a Deron Wilson thing? Maybe. Is it an injury? Is it a maturity thing? Maybe. Maybe it doesn't work out. But a lot of times you can hire somebody. We mentioned Corey Raymond. Charlie Weiss didn't work out, and everybody thought that was a home run hire when he got hired based on his pedigree. So we don't know, and I don't think it's fair to say it's a downgrade because I don't think it is. It's just right now it's unknown. So Nick is struggling with his allergies right now.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, you are. The entire internet is hearing you battle.
Losing battle. What's
going on, especially even off camera. So the U.S. is beating Sweden right now, 1-0. Shout out to Team USA Hockey. All right, guys. So that brings us to the end of that segment. We're going to welcome Valen Lopez here to talk about a little Florida Gators basketball, who's ranked number 2 in the country. Before we do that, let's go visit our friends over at homefieldapparel.com. If you're looking for anything vintage Florida Gator logo, about 25 different options there. They're going to have the baseball pullovers any minute now available for you. So go check out Home Field Apparel. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout and you get 20% off of your order. Again, homefieldapparel.com, promo code Stadium and Gale. All right. And with that, we welcome Florida Gator superfan, basketball superfan, Valen Lopez to the show. Valen, what's going on, my friend?
Not much, man. How y'all doing today?
Good. All right, man. So Gators ranked number 2 in the country, beat South Carolina.
Hey, hold on. Who are we repping on the shirt?
I went to Hampton, bro.
Yeah.
Oh. Hampton.
Hey, Hampton is cool, but this is a Gators platform, bro. You need to get that out of here.
This is a Gators platform. I came from the gym, man. Look.
All right, go change shirts real quick. We got time.
So I think since last episode, the Gators beat Auburn on Tuesday by 9 and then beat South Carolina in kind of a scrappy game in the first half, really pulled out a big win there at the end. Rankings came out, like I said, ranked number 2 in the country, did get a first place vote, which was the first time in a long time I've seen the Florida Gators have a 1 or more next to their name playing basketball. So Valen, what's clicking? And you got some injuries. You get Micah back. Team seems like they're destined for late season success here.
Yeah, no. To be honest with you, I think the biggest thing that we have going on is our depth across the board. And I think that the biggest thing that I run to and I compare it to is kind of when we move back to 06, 07, and the consistency across the board, especially on the scoring aspect, to have multiple people that are averaging double digits across the board. And we have a lot of people that can affect the game in a different bunch of different ways. You can't really beat us one way. You know, Walter Clayton had a tough game against South Carolina. Didn't really play well, but you had Aberdeen that goes for, you know, 21, 22 points. Hauk goes for 20 points. We're able to rebound the ball. We're long on the front court and we have explosive guards. So we're really a tough out, especially if we're hitting the threes. It's going to be tough to be able to beat us, especially at home. So with us, the schedule remaining, we got Oklahoma coming up, LSU, Georgia. And those are, you know, no game in the SEC is an automatic win, but those are ones that you think that, okay, we're more likely to win those. But you end the season with Texas A&M, Alabama, and Ole Miss, all three ranked teams. And I think that that's going to be our telling point in how we're going to catapult ourselves and get the momentum going into the tournament. Because it's all about the tournament, you know?
Mm-hmm.
SEC tournament is going to be basically a warm-up national tournament, you know, March Madness, because of how good the SEC is as a whole. So,
it's definitely national championship is running through the SEC, in my opinion.
Absolutely. But I think that the SEC tournament is going to be a very, very good warm up session for the national tournament, because you're going to play all the best teams in a one game elimination style. You know, obviously, we'll have a bye, but. You know, I'm confident in this team. This is the first time that I've been really confident in a basketball team since what, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So they're showing a lot of promise. So you just got to keep up the consistency, and we got to stay, you know, obviously healthy because we have injuries going on right now.
I was gonna, that 13-14 team was the one I was going to bring up, because like Walter Clayton might be like him, like he might be like. He's not going to win a National Player of the Year award because you got
now with your energy, he won't.
No, because you got Bragg at Duke, and then I think Condon let old boy from Auburn out of his pocket to finish the rest of the season. but like it reminded me of that team just because like you had Scotty, you had Casey, you had Pat, but it was just like not one guy was bigger than the whole team, and you had Pat diving for a loose ball up six to save a ball against Tennessee. I think they were ranked number one at the time. And it just seems like, to me, I started making that comparison down the stretch. Like, Walt misses a game and somebody else steps up. Kondo misses a game, somebody else steps up. Thomas Howe is playing unbelievably. I saw you were talking on the timeline, like, hey, that's my sixth man of the year. Not to take away from what Denzel Aberdeen is doing, but like the consistency that he's been doing it at. And then, hey, now you're playing big. Now you're not six man. Now you're starting. Right. And we need starter minutes and to answer that bell. And it just seems to be, you mentioned it, like they're hard to beat. And it's like, well, they're not even getting good injury luck right now. And you're getting guys in off the bench. You got Urban making threes, big threes that are like putting games on ice late. To me, I was almost questioning like, hey, they play a pretty tight like 7-8 rotation. What happens if things start to fall apart, if you get an injury? And I've gotten my answer the last 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you talk about basketball, you're really going to, you know, a lot of teams won't go past 7-8 is a stretch. Right. So I think that the injuries allowed for us to see what we truly have in the on the bench. So we knew Tommy Houck, but I think Houck has completely excelled and has gone past or surpassed what I ever thought that, you know, he would play. Aberdeen has shown the confidence that he had back at Texas A&M in the SEC championship last year, and is playing basketball like he's not afraid. He's attacking the rim. He feels comfortable. You can tell. But I was thinking about this on the way home from the gym today. I think the find of Urban Klavsar is key, and you may not even see him very much the rest of the year. You know, his minutes are going to be very, very small. But what he can do, he is a spark plug. You know, so whenever we are struggling shooting the ball, I would not be surprised if you see him get a couple minutes in there to see if we can get a three to hit, just to get momentum. And you can tell that as his minutes increased on the back end of this season, and he's had success, meaning that he's actually hitting the threes, because the first half of the year, they were in and out. He was missing. He wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Once you start to see the ball go through the rim, then your play elevates. You can tell he's handling the ball a lot more comfortably. He's playing a little bit more defense. So if you just think about when you're on these tournament runs, you just never know what each game is going to give you. You don't know how your matchups are going to be. To be able to go that deep into the bench is only a luxury.
That bench got me like telling generational lies. Aberdeen is an absolute dog, bro. Like players getting injured. like reignited like a few things for me, because I know our starting five, what we can do, and like, you know, winning games, but just seeing that we can go to the bench and not lose no drop off, it might like low key get better, right? Like, yeah. This is a different, bro. We should be a Final Four team, man. And we're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, yeah. No, and you're exactly right. I think the depth makes you very, very confident in what's going on. And if you look at even bringing Hand Logden back, right, I don't expect a lot from Hand Logden either. You know, you may get – whenever Connor gets back, you may get 10, 15 minutes. You know, that might be pushing it. Don't expect a lot of scoring, but it's another person that can affect the ball at the rim. You know, it's going to protect the rim and can rebound. Mm-hmm. And I think that's our biggest thing, is to be able to continue to rebound and kill people on the boards. When we don't play well on the boards and we don't shoot the three well, that's whenever you typically see us not play as well. But as long as we have the size down there, Condon's going to rebound. Hawk's going to rebound.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my issues with Chinyelu, but Chinyelu has played pretty solid, you know. So to add in
the Florida Gator, Dennis Rodman, he's good for 6 points, 14 yeah. boards, three elbows, two shoves.
Yeah,
and
he's got to get better hands though. He's got to work on that. But other than that, you're right. He 100% he can give you that. But to have a 7'1", which is the tallest player that we have coming off the bench, and he was a starter last year. It's not like we're bringing in somebody that's never played before. He was a starter, so. To be able to have that coming off the bench is only a luxury, man. And I think another thing with this team is Todd Golden has done a phenomenal job managing the team, managing the substitutions, but most importantly, which I think is our biggest success that goes kind of unknown, is our ability to draw plays out of timeouts. Mm-hmm. When teams are getting momentum, there's not very many times where we call a timeout and we get the ball coming out of that timeout and we don't get a bucket. And if it's not a bucket, it's a really, really good shot that probably should have mm-hmm. gone in. We just missed the shot. And that changes the momentum of a game. You know, they go on Auburn. We're up by 20. They come down, they hit a three, come back down, we turn the ball over, they get a layup. We call a timeout, come out. First thing we do is get a bucket. So now we're back up to 17, and it settles everything down. I mean, I was there, so the crowd, you know, at that point, is like we had momentum. We thought we were running it out, but that was a perfect timeout call and the perfect play coming out of that. And it just changes the momentum, and it changes the confidence of the team whenever you're able to finally get a bucket after not missing any, as we saw with Mike White when we'd go mm-hmm. you know, 15 minutes without a bucket. So
Mike's still cooking up those 20 minute droughts.
Still, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Same stuff.
But one shout out to Mike White.
No.
Always had a fire backdoor lob inbound play. The baseline.
Well,
the blob. Mike White was good for a blob a game. Manufactured.
You should try to do one of those when the other team's on a 19-0 run.
Hey, but the thing, Nick, is that only counts for 2 points.
Mm.
Yeah, but that's why you have to manufacture 30 of those a game. Then that's 60 points. Now we're cooking.
So I'm confident. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I'm good.
No, I was just going to say team is probably 9 or 10, even 10 people deep now, which, you know, from an injury perspective is great. What are some things that Florida needs to do over the next couple of games? Obviously they need to get Micah back into playing condition. He's going to probably play a little bit more. But what are some things that you're looking for as we round out the rest of this SEC schedule? And, you know, there's probably some teams that are on the weaker side of their schedule this year still left to go, where you can hopefully try out some new things or polish up some things. So what do you want to see them polish up?
Yeah. So great point. So right now, obviously, you guys know that the rankings came out, the AP rankings, and obviously the first set of bracketology rankings, which now AP has us at number 2. So these last games are going to be very, very pivotal, especially because we're kind of jockeying with the Duke, the Alabama, in regards to what spot we want to get. We want to get, obviously, the closest place to here.
Right.
So with us being initially at the 3 seed, it kind of put us out west. Us being the 2 seed will put us back over here on the east side. So for the next 3 games, Oklahoma
is that LSU. Cleveland? Is that the 2 seed goes to Cleveland?
So I don't know exactly where I haven't looked at that exact spots. I know.
I mean, it's a wild year for the SEC to be this dominant. When you look at these like first round host cities, it's like Lexington's one of them, like Cleveland. Like there's going to be there's going to be a really good SEC team traveling thousands of miles.
Yeah.
Right.
To be like a two seed in a region.
Yeah. So we've got Atlanta, Indianapolis, San Francisco, and Newark as the kind of head locations here.
Okay.
Ooh, San Francisco. I guess Todd Golden could go back to his stomping grounds a little bit.
Right. But obviously the goal is to not have to go out there.
So, no.
So the top four seeds in the SEC, they're not going to have them all in the same bracket. So that's why whenever they first came out, they had us in the four seed going out west, and Tennessee would have taken that two seed, but been on the Duke bracket. But now that we're second, we would take the spot closer to here, and to be able to keep that, right, we have to show consistency in the next three games. So that means that Oklahoma, LSU, Georgia, they need to be consistent wins, and we have to play better consistently on the defensive end in the first half. That's been our Achilles heel. We come out great in the second half.
That's how you have the monster. Like, yeah, we get busy second half. I ain't gonna lie.
Because I remember like first loss of the year. I think it was Missouri.
Kentucky,
and then dude from Kentucky had like 19 threes, and you're like, all right, at some point just tip your hat, and then you go to Missouri, and you're like, well, wait, why is Missouri also shooting lights out from three? Mm-hmm. And then like all three losses, you have these like big stretches where teams, and I'm sure at some point, you know, like in baseball. Hey, you just tip your hat to a good pitcher. Yeah. Tip your hat to a guy if he's a bucket that night. But it does seem like that was a theme, like early defensive, whether it's effort or closing out, but digging yourself a hole within the first 10, 15 minutes of a game that you can't dig yourself out of.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. I have to try to like wreck my brain and remember the other ones, but mostly it's defensive effort. It looks like the defensive scheme is good. The defensive schemes work. You can see like the Mississippi State game, the way that we played them defensively, the way they played Hubbard, especially we can zone in kind of on one person. I think we do really well with that. The issue is that Missouri, the white boy, can't think of his name, he went crazy, you know, hitting from three. Mm. And we're talking about hand in the face. Know.
Can't remember his name, huh?
Yeah, can't remember why. Name. It's Black History Month. I don't need to. But no,
okay.
So he went crazy. Brea, and honestly, a couple people.
Great introduction to the show, man.
Yeah.
So being able to start halves off consistently, the first half, especially on the defensive end, and then being able to protect home against Texas A&M and then go on the road to Alabama. That Alabama game is going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. Now, we've had Alabama's number. We beat them in the SEC tournament last year. We beat them in the regular season last year. I'm not as high on Alabama as a lot of people are. I'm not saying they're not a good team. I just think that they don't defend the ball very well.
Yeah.
Play defense very well, but it's going to be a tough game on the road, and it looks like it's a night game at 7:00. So, I mean, it's on a Wednesday. So
it's in Alabama or is it in Gainesville?
It's in Alabama.
I know whoever did the SEC scheduling this year.
Our home schedule was terrible this year.
Yeah.
We didn't get Kentucky at home. We didn't get Auburn at home. You know, we got Texas A&M at home. That's cool. But, you know, they didn't do really well with our schedule this year. But
I'm so tired of playing Texas A&M in any sport. I just feel like we play them all the time. To go back to what we were talking about earlier, the potential first and second round locations are Lexington, Kentucky, Providence, Rhode Island, Seattle, Washington, Wichita, Kansas, Cleveland, Ohio. They got to work on some of these spots, Denver and Milwaukee. So outside of Lexington, which would not be necessarily a warm, welcoming environment to the Florida Gators, those are definitely all places that you're going to have to travel. I guess Cleveland is the one that would be the closest for Gator fans, but definitely not a great draw here for first, second round. Oh, I guess Raleigh, North Carolina is first, second round, and then it moves to San Francisco, Newark, Atlanta, or Indianapolis. So,
and then keep in mind too that you're talking about Kentucky not being a good drop, like, because it's all going to be neutral site, right? So Kentucky themselves will not be playing in there. So it and I'm very confident in us on a neutral floor, right? Like I'm not. You know, going away is tough because it's going away, but on a neutral floor where we're able to have our fans in there and have as much of an impact as the other team, I'm very confident in our ability to be able to play against anybody. Yeah. So, you know, hey, and it's funny. Yo, what's up?
No, finish your take. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was going to say, it's funny that I was talking to somebody about, like, teams that would give us issues in regards to, like, in the tournament. And Duke is going to be one of those teams. And somebody was like, oh, we would kill Duke on the timeline. I'm like, hold on now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we're killing Duke. Length. Don't die down. Hey, whoever said it, y'all right.
No. Listen. You know what I'm saying? Like, we have the ability to beat them. But what I'm saying is that the issue is that they have a lot of length to guard. They don't have a guard that's smaller than 6'6", right? So whenever you have that length at the guard spot, it makes it a lot easier for them to defend, especially off of the screen. Where we make a lot of stuff happen is off of those dribble handoffs and off of those screens. So it just makes it changes the dynamic of how you play them. Not saying we can't win, but I'm just saying that was something I saw today that I was like, oh, you know, pump the brakes just a little bit.
Hey, we're gonna beat the brakes off Duke, man. shout out to Coach K, man. Coach K, I know you're retired, but we beating the brakes off your boys.
I got one question for you. Huh? He's gonna forget Flagler? Cooper. He's gonna forget Cooper Flagg's name too.
Oh, that's crazy. Didn't he from like New Hampshire or Maine or something?
We the big dogs in basketball, wild. Bro. Like, shout out to Todd Golden, man. Future sure. Golden doing this thing. We the big dogs. I expect us to run down on everything. I was hyped preseason. I thought we had a stick. I thought the roster was set up. I thought we had the coach to make a run. And it's kind of like playing itself out a little bit here, man. Shout out to Mike White for just failing while he was here, going to Georgia and just pooping the bed. Now we got a real coach. Valen, I want to check in with you, man. I haven't talked to you personally. Usually I check in with you, man, but I want to save it for some content in the show. You went on the road to Auburn. You went into, like, the bee's nest, man, on the road. What was the vibes like on the road?
The guy was number at the barber shop before, got the lineup right.
Bro. I told him. I was hanging out on Friday.
I hit him up. I was like, "Yo, looks like you're getting ready for team hours." He goes, "I'm going to the game tomorrow." I was like, "Okay."
Yeah, bro. I can't go in another city without a fade, dog. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no. So the reason I got to give a shout out to my homegirl. She hooped at Auburn. Her name is Janiyah. She got records out there. We didn't have tickets, but we went to the girls basketball practice, which was right before the game, and basically just walked in. The environment was amazing, man. They have an amazing stadium, and the cool thing about their stadium is that, you know how, like, where we go are concessions and you kind of have to walk out of the stadium into the concession area? Mm-hmm. Well, they have the concourse where you go, you get your concessions, but you can still see what's happening on the floor. And that's all the way around. And they have standing seats as well where you can kind of lean. They have like a little, like at the football stadium, they have like a little bar you can put your drinks on, and they have standing room as well. Explosive environment. Their fans love basketball for sure. But they're nice fans, man. They didn't really like, I got heckled. I was sitting next to Janiyah Broome's mom. Yeah, and she ain't really, I don't think she was too fond of me at that point, but I got a lot of looks. Like, who was this one person yelling? Because it sounded like I was the only person there, to be honest with you. But I saw like 10 to 15 other Florida fans. We hung out, got some beers together, and then we celebrated afterwards. But it was honestly, that's a stadium, a court that you want to go to experience, because they get wild. They're really, really loud, really nice, really good people. But overall, just a great experience, man. And to see us come out with a dub, man. You know, I was ignorant in there, like ignorant.
Bro, I was watching your tweets, and I said, man, I wish I was in the building with my guy. I'd be talking green.
Yeah, man. It was so. It's different going in there, and you know, it's a close game back and forth. But we got out 20, so now I'm like, really like laying into him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm laying into him, and then they kind of they had a little bit of a run that brought him back in to within like 13. And I was like, like, because we started shooting too many threes, and we weren't running the ball out at all. We were shooting threes, and we were missing. And I was like, man, I don't know. So I started getting a little, not quiet, but I was like, you know, I'm humbling myself a little bit. Like, let me just kind of, you know, sit back. And then we kind of took off with it again. But yeah, they knew I was there. They know that dude in the white shirt was going crazy. But I knew I was
fresh fade, going crazy.
Yeah, I had the chain on everything. It was lit.
As a crew, if we make it to San Antonio, we got to go out there.
Oh, absolutely.
We got to go out there.
Absolutely.
Come on, me, baby.
Hang out. Yeah, we got to go.
I got a hookup in San Antonio.
I like in San Antonio. I told y'all they got different. I'm not gonna say it on this show.
Different type.
That's funny. My dad was there for
a few less now.
But nah. But yeah. So it was, like I said, it was a great environment, man. And you know, we went down 15-5 at the beginning. So I ain't really have too much to say, but. I love Florida sports, man. I love basketball. I just know basketball more than I do anything else. So it's a lot easier to keep up and to be able to be a little more analytical with what I'm talking about versus football. I'm just like, hey, run the ball, throw the ball, don't do that, you know. But explosive environment, good to see us come out with a win. I think good to see the moxie of our team to be able to come out with a win too. That was like drop your balls, like, you know, hey, we got to get something done. They put the hard hat on and they got it done on physically. I think we beat them up too. So yeah, I was super proud to be there. Had a good time out afterwards, spent way too much money. but we had a good time.
Who has?
That's what a win would do.
Hey, listen, man, a win, how you spending crazy? Man, I'm
over here. You know how many times I got back to Palm Beach and called my credit card company? Like, I don't know who did that, bro.
Yeah, don't check the security.
That's crazy that they did that. They must have had a fun night, wasn't me?
Man, they really enjoyed shots.
I wish it was. You know what I mean? We cancel all the charges.
Yeah, it was wild. It was funny when I was leaving. It was random. I was leaving out, and there's two cheerleaders that were walking in front of me, and she was going to check out a car, and somebody like parked it right next to their car, and I was like, oh, they like almost hit you. She's like, yeah. So her friend was like, it's probably a Florida fan. And I was like, the hell is that supposed to mean? She's like, I'm so sorry, like, you know what I'm saying? I didn't mean to say that but like, they just like said. It's a fun time out there, man.
She just didn't know you were there,
like gone, I you know? Said fresh she was probably, yeah. demon hours
Yeah, yeah,
I was,
yeah,
I was,
yeah,
I was,
yeah.
I was on my time, man. You know what I'm saying? But that's not for
this family show.
No.
Yeah, yeah. Single family vibes. Single man vibes, man. This is a family show. We're all taken, Valen.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I'm not.
All right, Val. We're gonna get you out of here, brother.
All right, man.
Appreciate you coming on. Let everybody know you're a great follow. You're even better.
Hey, real quick, Valen, can you? I've been trying to get these guys below me here to show up February 28th, March 1st, March 2nd, Florida, Miami.
Oh, I'm going to be in.
The last time Miami was up here, we've talked about Dan's A-plus heckling performance.
Yeah.
Like, all SEC.
Valen was there.
I was there.
Yes. Valen was there.
That's what I'm saying.
Valen was there. Yeah.
With somebody too.
yeah, you were. That's
y'all
right.
Together, y'all.
Ace was there.
Nah, cut her off. We weren't together then.
Oh, okay. I see how you
look like
it. Listen, the fade does things to people.
Hey, Val, I'll tell you what. I don't know. I know you listened to the show a couple weeks ago. He thought you and Vari were the same person. So I just want you.
Yeah, man.
I'll
disrespect.
Listen. There are allegations with no backing of evidence. Dan says it happened on his show. I can't remember.
Y'all look alike, though.
It's just.
They don't look alike at all. These.
Right now, no. I mean, they're both light-skinned, but that's literally it.
Yeah, that's really it. Hey, but hey, Vari actually cool as hell, man. I hung out with him the old Miss guy. Man, and he had his kid out there, man. We had a great time, dog. He's a solid dude, but we're definitely not the same.
Valen's good 6 inches taller than Vari.
That's a whole attorney, man. Shout out to my guy, Vari, man.
A whole six.
Yeah, and he from Jacksonville. I'm from Georgia, so
worse. What's worse?
Hey, listen, I get heckled all the time being from Georgia, and I'm a Florida fan, so that doesn't really bother me no more.
I'm not sure what's worse.
Well, you can follow him at Rico_Suave03 on X. Valen, we appreciate you coming back on, my friend, or coming on the show. And we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Yeah, and shout out to y'all for the new logo, man. I like it.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate it, dog.
Yeah, man. I'll holler at y'all, man.
All right, brother.
All righty, man.
Yeah, normally Valen would have been cutting up with you, but he was on his P's and Q's that night.
Yeah, we don't want to throw the E sign on the podcast platform saying this is an explicit show. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That boy.
P-Ron
went crazy. I ain't gonna lie to you. I was having to like mentally insert bleeps into P-Ron's, man, but it was good content. Yeah. Valen saying he was single, but he wasn't acting single that night. I'll tell you that.
He was not.
No. He was not. He was all who's canoodling.
Ah, go, give him a Golden Globe. Give him an Oscar.
Nick, we're gonna have to find a different game for me to go to. I'm gonna be up in Boston next weekend, but there I definitely want to make it up for a baseball game. Is there one the weekend of the DJ Lagway event?
DJ Lagway event is March 10th. Let me pull up.
Well, why you do that?
So you'd be in Long Beach. No,
I can come on the weekend. Pause. Oh man, I can make it to Gainesville on the weekend. I'm going to see Shane Gillis that Friday, but outside of that, I'm pretty free that weekend. Anyway, why
event is March 10th?
What?
Yeah, Monday.
Yes,
you got the Harvard Crimson. Will be in town.
I can't heckle the guy from Harvard that's about to be an investment banker.
He would turn around and be like, "Your portfolio is weak and not diverse."
He doesn't know that. Yeah,
you're right.
That's not true. Damn it. Very diverse.
I'm heavily invested in Life Wallet.
Yeah,
it's a sinking ship.
Yeah, I did meet somebody at the bar the other day, and he's like, "Oh, you're that damn." When I told him about Stadium and Gale, nice guy. He's like, let's start listening to the show. He's like, you're hated amongst the Miami fans. I'm like, well, obviously, like I knew that. Appreciate the insight. He's like, you want to know something? I'm like, where are we going to go now? He's like, I hate John Ruiz too. I'm like, all right, birds of the same feather. All right, let's get into an ad read. All right, go visit, our friends over at Game Time Sidekicks. You can get a great cup like this one or the one Nick has. A lot of great products. GameTimeSidekicks.com. Use promo code STADIUM15 to get 15% off of your order. Support a Gator fan that is living in Knoxville, Tennessee by go visiting GameTimeSidekicks.com. University of Florida, a lot of other schools as well. Go visit them. We'll keep your hot drinks hot, your cold drinks cold. True story, I did leave a drink with ice water in the car for 9-10 hours this weekend. Still had ice in it, so... great product. So again, GameTimeSidekicks.com, promo code STADIUM15 at checkout. All right, guys.
Shout out to Tyler. Tyler is actually did an idea with a couple of baseball players. He's going to be in town soon, so we're going to shoot some content.
Awesome.
Tyler is one of the owners of GameTime Sidekicks.
Great dude. Great dude. Let's run into a couple of just housekeeping notes. Ryan Tice is... been hired to be the new women's volleyball coach. Mary Wise stepped down after 25 illustrious years at the helm. Brian Tice comes to UF from Marquette, where he's been the last decade or so. So welcome him. We'll try to get him on the show this offseason. We had Mary Wise on, I think, twice. So try to get him on to the program. Nick, baseball goes 3-0. None of the games were particularly close. You did get some paratroopers that came in for the Air Force series that they had. Including one game where nobody but the pitcher, catcher, or first baseman recorded an out. So, Nick, give us baseball overview.
They always say, like, go to a baseball game. There's a good chance you'll see something you've never seen. Started playing baseball when I was 5, so 31 years. I've never seen a game. The outfielders could have been chasing butterflies, and it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game. Mm-hmm. 21 outs because they only played 7-10 run rule, 17 strikeouts, and 3 ground balls back, 4 ground balls back to the pitcher. 3 of them went from first or pitcher to first, and one was a bunt straight back. Have never seen that in my life. Was talking to Chuck Duralaman after the game. He'd never seen that. It's Air Force. There's going to be better talent. It was really cool to hear kind of like what their day-to-day is like. That's wild to try to imagine playing a full-time Division I. Like, if Jordan, if you had to wake up at 5:30, make your bed, and go like put a ruck on and hike 5 miles to then go chow class practice.
I salute to those boys for real. That's
no pun intended.
Yeah. I don't think they had a pitcher. I don't think they had a pitcher on the mound break 90. Okay. That being said, Vanderbilt just struggled beating Air Force 3-1 tonight. Game just went final. Florida's lineup is going to be a lot different, deep. And if you get the kind of pitching you got from Liam Peterson Friday night, Jake Clemente Saturday, two quality starts. Pierce Capallo goes out, strikes out, I think, a Baker's dozen. If Florida's guys are pitching like that on the weekend, they're going to be a really, really tough team to beat. There's always one goal with the baseball team. And I think if Florida plays the way they did this weekend, we're talking a top eight national seed. Team's good. Yeah. Need to find my meme. I will not overhype.
Last year, Florida lost their starting series to Columbia. So, that's going to happen. You beat the teams. You play the way you're supposed to beat them. Air Force is not a good program, but also being –
Well, they won the Mountain West last year but lost. Mountain West last year but lost everybody. And when I say lost everybody, I mean I think they're serving now.
Yeah, salute. So, again, beat the teams you're supposed to beat the way you're supposed to beat them, and they did that. So we will stay tuned. You're heading to Jacksonville tomorrow?
I'm not. Okay. I am staying in Gainesville. I have inside info. Red Panda will be performing at the O-Dome, first time in over a decade. Sorry to the city of Jacksonville, but I'm not going to miss potentially my last time to see Red Panda live in action.
Yeah,
that's cycle with her dishes.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Red Panda. That's cool against Oklahoma. So
when you get a chance to see greatness, Dan, you got to stay and give. This is like potentially last year. Red Panda retires. I'm not going to say I spent the night in Duval when I could have had a front row seat for Red Panda.
Yeah, I don't know if in the history of your life either will truly matter, but I do think seeing Red Panda in person would be cool.
Thank you. Put some respect.
So I applaud the choice, Nick. If I had the option, I would choose the one that you're choosing as well. Yeah. And I'm sure our loyal fan base would as well. So if you don't have tickets, go buy them. Go see Red Panda tomorrow. Not to be confused with the electric DJ White Panda.
Hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, softball's 13-1. They lost their first game of the season to number 14 Duke yesterday, in a game that I believe had a couple of different rain delays in it. But they're doing well. And then the men's golf team won the Florida Invitational this weekend. We'll do a better job as kind of the season progresses, giving you guys an update on where other programs are sitting. I know indoor track is going on right now. Outdoor track won't be too long beyond. Obviously, softball is a very good team. Baseball has all the makings of being an illustrious team as well. And in golf, they have one of the best golfers in the country right now as an individual on their program, in their program right now. So go.
They should bring you on the coach, bro.
What?
They should bring you on the coach.
No.
No?
No. No, the game that they play and the game that I play are very, very different. I don't think.
I'm faking out there a little bit.
Yeah, you don't realize how good the PGA guys are until you watch the guys that are on the Korn Ferry that are just nearly as good, maybe a couple strokes around worse. And then that drop from college is not as deep as you might think. And then the drop from the worst college golfer to all time to one of the best, like just casual players, is mountains different. It is such a different game that they play. So as somebody,
I thought my friends were good at golf, man. It turns out they're not. So.
I'm not bad. I can play with anybody. Trying to go low. I had a couple, good rounds recently, a couple tough rounds. That's what separates me from the boys on the golf course.
It's a different game. I was playing with my buddy who played in college, and he got mad because we played 18-18, and he had 27 straight pars. He finished the back nine on Saturday with nine pars and then had 18 pars, and he was pissed.
Meanwhile, I'm like,
hey, man, I shot a 112 today, so shut up. No one cares about your 71. but just playing a different game than we're playing.
Hey Jordan, before I get out of here, I don't know if I missed it because like Scream Yard don't really like rock with me like that. And I've been in and out a little bit, but what was it like for you when you had the experience? Because you had to get new running back coaches. So what is that experience like for the DBs that have to deal with new DB coaches coming in? Of course, you didn't have transfer portal at the time, but what is that feeling like and the experience like dealing with a coaching change?
Yeah, I think for the most part, I think I got blessed in that. I kind of knew the first coach that came to me. I obviously got like brought in to Skip, so I liked him off the rip. But when Knox came in, I think I was just so really trying to be bought into whatever Coach Mullen was doing. It was like a whole entire coaching change. Like it wasn't like just one dude just pulled out from me. So I think that may play a little bit different part on it. But just overall, I think like just the energy aspect of it, like Nick mentioned, he's a young guy. He's a young coach. Like I think if he's a young dude coming in there with that energy and he earns his respect from the players, I don't see like any drop off. He's coming into some skill guys. Those dudes are talented all across the board. Like, I think everybody at this point, it's no really much feelings involved because, like you mentioned, the transfer portal. So like, their loyalty is just as much as the coaches these days. And that like they're getting transfer, they can transfer in and out. Coaches get swapped in and out. I think everybody's more of in it for the money now, and they're trying to get paid. So if he can get the message across, like, hey, let's come here and handle business, like on a real inspirational aspect as well, I think they'll be good to go.
At this point, man, shout out to Will Harris. I know you're listening. I appreciate you for going to the NFL because there's an SEC to SEC rule. And like our players can't go. If he would have went to Texas, we were good. I wasn't sweating the Texas move if he would have went to Texas because I know like our players can't go to Texas. So, you know, they're going to sit and just vibe out a little bit with the new coach. But Miami was a different story. And there was some smoke about, and I don't know if they were true, but there were people hitting me up about possible players, you know, intriguing and like entertaining the idea of following Will Harris to Miami. If he's not at Miami, that squashes that whole thing. And that gives our players like more of a perspective to, you know, analyze the new guy that's coming in, try to figure out if they want to be coached by him. But I think that deads the whole Miami situation. And I'm grateful for that. You know, keeping the players because we all like a new coach, it could go either way, like good hire, bad hire, like Dan was saying earlier, like you don't know what's about to happen. But our players having to buy into the new guy, sit there and take in a new coach, and it's a different vibe if they don't have a Miami, you know, Will Harris to go run to. And I think if Will Harris is going pro, that changes the whole scenario of our room staying intact. This is a talent-based thing. Like, I don't care how good of a DB coach you is. If you're coaching Corey Knowles and Nick Della Torre and Dan Thompson at DB, like, I don't care if you
– You better be one hell of a coach.
Yes.
Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
Water to wine type.
Yes, yes. But if you coach in the room we got right now with the guy that we just hired, I think we're
you
I think
can be
we're
fine. Jesus. You don't have to be Jesus. Yeah,
yeah, no doubt, no doubt. I think with the coach we got, if the room stays intact, we good to go. You know, there's no Will Harris at Miami for our room to run to if he's going to the NFL. So everything's in motion. We still good to go for two. Let the lies ride. We good.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that that's, you know, a very valid point. You know, could there be and will there likely be turnover this offseason? Yeah, expect somebody, right? You know, but right now this is, you know, the staff that Florida's riding with, and it's a guy that hopefully these guys feel comfortable with. He's a a rising star, if you will. You know, at least he's a rising candidate in the profession. I guess we'll see where his star ultimately is. But, you know, I think that he's a likable guy, affable, you know, obviously going places, you know, moving into that defensive coordinator spot. There's only 130-ish defensive coordinator spots in all of FBS college football, and he had one of them. So let's, you know, this is what we have. You know, there might be some turnover. It's probably not going to be the end of the world if it is, but also let's not immediately call this a downgrade. Let's not immediately throw the guy under the bus either as a fan base for Daron Wilson. So again, I know there was a question earlier if Robert Bala is on staff. I'm not sure where that question came from. And then Vinny Sanceri, who we do expect big things out of, and certainly on the recruiting trail, and then Daron Wilson, kind of hammer out the rest of that. You know, what we think right now is the defensive staff. Could that change? Probably. They could add a couple of other potential pieces there without the limit, but that's where we're at right now. We had a little...
also too, like, that was a good like sell job for Billy Napier and the staff, because Daron wasn't a guy that was just ready to bolt from a defense. It's not hard to become a defensive coordinator as a black man in college football. Like, I don't care where it's at, Georgia State, FCS.
It's not easy. Yeah.
It's not easy for a black man to become a defensive coordinator. So a guy that had became defensive coordinator, he was mulling between leaving that title to become defensive back coach at UF. Billy Napier and the guy sold that role. He coming on full force. Now we have two FCS defensive coordinators in our secondary with Sinceri and Wilson.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that point. So.
Yeah,
and that's where we stand. We had a segment idea. You guys want to punt that to next week? Does that work?
I mean, it's up to y'all, man.
We'll punt it to next week. I think we got some good content today. All right, one time shout out for our friends over at Alumni Hall. Go visit alumnihall.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout for the entire month of February and get 20% off of your order. Great time for baseball, softball, volleyball, football, polos for golf, anything that you might want for early Mother's Day, early Father's Day presents, whatever it might be. It's a great opportunity to get 20% off. They don't run this special very often, so if you're looking for anything Florida Gators related, both online or in Gainesville, just use promo code Stadium and Gale at checkout. It's all one word. Get 20% off of your order. All right, with that, I think that brings us to the end of the show. I don't know who has song of the week this week, so I'm going to go with
week. Not me. I had it last week.
We both did.
Probably now, Corey. You had it 2 weeks ago. I want to ask your guys' thoughts on this. I think I know the answer. I saw that Lil Wayne is. Well, I saw a few weeks ago. Lil Wayne's performing here with the Hot Boys and the Big Timers on Friday night. It's called Lil Louisiana. Would you guys go to that concert?
Yeah, I mean, he's sober right now.
It wasn't good.
I caught him at a Super Bowl sober. LaDainian Thomason, me and him passed.
Is he living righteous now, though?
I don't know, man.
Because we talked about this. We talked about this last week. Jordan and I had similar experiences.
Yeah.
Part of the payment was the frat was rolling him a Ziploc of blunts. So, like, was not living righteous.
Right.
Well, I mean, no, righteous, nearly, like, no.
3 hours.
I think marijuana for Wayne is righteous. It's the other stuff that throws him off a little bit.
When he's drinking. Drinking.
Yeah, drinking. Yeah. It's not liquor we're talking about.
Yeah. Purple Sprite. He likes the Sprite Easter Pink, right?
No, but like sober Wayne puts on the show. Like, I caught him at the Super Bowl down in Miami, in an intimate setting. It was rain coming down. I'm passing joints to LaDainian Thomason. Drew Brees may have been there. I don't know, but it was a great vibe. 2 Chainz came out. The performance was crazy. Okay. But I've also caught Wayne just not in the best of, like, mental health, sobriety, and it was terrible. So it just depends.
How do you think Juvenile and BG are going to be?
What?
They're there too. It's Lil Wayne, Juvenile, BG, Manny Fresh, Birdman.
A lot to overcome.
I don't think Turk's going to make it, but.
No, they're not vibing with Turk right now.
I don't think they were. It's gonna be a hell of a time right here in downtown Tampa. It's gonna be a different vibe in downtown Tampa Friday night. So,
will you be there in attendance?
I won't. At least not yet. I mean, I've seen Lil Wayne 3 times now, and the last time I saw him was in Gainesville at the O Dome. And if you saw him at the O Dome, you understand why I don't have him on my check the box again list. I think it was him and Fabulous. Fabulous performed a great show, and then we waited, I think, an hour and 45 minutes for Wayne to come on because, like, he had to park his bus off campus because they said that they were going to search him if he came on. I think he did like 15 songs. He did like half of the first verse. He did the chorus, maybe. Then he had his hype man kind of sing the rest, and the acoustics in there for a rap concert aren't great. Just, I didn't leave saying, you know what? I can't wait for Lil Wayne to come to my city again so I can buy tickets. So, great experience. Big fan of Wayne, especially old Lil Wayne.
Made a good decision.
Yeah, they really did.
If you are watching on YouTube, hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button before we leave. There's 2,577 of you watching right now. So if you guys go ahead and do that, we appreciate everybody for watching. We appreciate Valen Lopez for coming on to talk about Florida Gators basketball. Appreciate everybody in the chat. And with that, we'll I got song of the week. What did I pick? Do I want to go? No.
God bless America, Dan. Tell those dirty Canadians up north that we're putting some effort into sticks, ice skating with sticks, and their national run of terror in hockey.
We're calling the people dirty, right though. You calling people dirty.
It doesn't matter. Reason. They're already in. They're already in.
Yeah, they are already in. And if they lose, Canada's then out. So that would be even funnier to watch.
I saw somebody clip some like Reddit thing, and it was like a Canadian being like, guys, we should have known this. Whenever Americans like take a sport seriously, they start dominating it. It was a good run.
No, I mean, the U.S. has some incredible hockey players. Right now, Canada's better than the U.S. in overall, but the U.S. team just has a little bit better goaltending. But that was a hell of a game. I mean, it's 2-1. There's a late third goal there and an open net. So go check that out. Nature Gator, yes, what I was watching. I'm watching Four Nations, U.S. versus Sweden. Go America. All right, let's go with – there's a country music artist named Jack Van Cleef who I don't know a lot about, but he did a new song with Zach Bryan called Rattlesnake. That's pretty good. So we'll go check that out. So Rattlesnake by Jack Van Cleef. Appreciate everybody for watching. We'll see you at the same corner, same time next week. And we hope you guys have a great rest of your day.
Yo, real quick. DJ Lagway, DJ 2 Lagway. I don't know what the website is, man.
DJ Lagway 2.
DJ Lagway too. Definitely pull up to the live event. A little FOMO is going to be going on, but if you miss out and you can't make it, it's only one place to find that content. Stadium Miguel. Subscribe, yes, man. Follow us on every single platform. The live show, we're going to do live questions and answers with DJ Lagway, cover the past season, upcoming season. But the quarterback, the guy at the helm, you know, Timothy Lagway is with Stadium Miguel, man. March 10th. Tap in with us.
Gonna ask him if Aiden Warner can spin it.
Man, can we rescind Nick's media invite? I'm just kidding. We love you, brother. We'll see you at the same corner, same time next week, guys.